closet drawer, it suddenly came to life.
This is Jack calling Ryan Carter. Come in, Ryan. Jack calling Ryan. Urgent. Repeat. Urgent. Come in, Ryan. Are you there? Come in, Ryan.
After 3 or 4 minutes, the radio fell silent again. Ryan was slightly surprised to find that there were no SecMen accompanying them on their expedition to the Zapp's Rainbow's End retirement complex. Then he guessed that this was probably because Adam Traven didn't want any outside witnesses around to what was going to happen. One of the young men searched Ryan, hands probing into the small of his back, under his arms and into his groin.
He's clean, Traven. One big knife and one small one.
That's very honorable of you, One-Eye.
Uh-huh. The leader of the posse had changed his clothes. Now he wore black pants, tucked into knee-high black boots with some kind of ribbed rubber sole, a black T-shirt with a Mex-looking picture on it of white skeletons. Over that, he now had a jacket of midnight blue suede, fringed at the elbows and wrists. Small pieces of dark glass were sewn all over it, but they didn't reflect any of the moonlight that filled the ville. On his head, Adam Traven wore a black beret, pulled down over his right ear at a rakish angle. The pearl-handled beretta was on his right hip, and a long bayonet on the left. Ryan had never seen a knife quite like it. It was much longer than the usual M16 bayonet, and it had a silver swastika pattern on the ornate hilt. Traven's girls and boys were all decked out in the colors of darkness. 5 young women, 3 in tight black jeans, and the other pair in short black skirts. All 5 in boots similar to those of their leader. They all had on black sweaters and either berets, or in a couple of cases, dark maroon ski masks with embroidered eye holes. Both men were dressed more like Traven, but without the flashy jacket. They had on long-sleeved black sweaters instead. Apart from Traven's beretta, the rest of the group of devoted apostles all carried the SecMan's weapon, the government model 8-shot Colt 45. And each was wearing a knife, but not just any battered old hunting blade with a taped-up hilt. They were top-quality weapons, with graphite titanium blades and finger-molded permagrips. All matching, like the blasters, all with their own scabbards.
Well, it's good of you to come and join us on our dark snaking.
Cut the crap. Let's get on with it. Sooner we start, the sooner it's over.
The sooner it's over. How very true. In so many ways, for so many, it really is nearly over.
Ryan ignored him. He stood quietly, drawing in deep breaths of the night air, relishing the coolness after the oppressive damp heat of the Florida days.
Are we going?
Of course, Rainbow. Ryan, I do believe that I've forgotten to introduce you to all our group. Wouldn't you like to know the names of your companions?
For a moment, Ryan remembered a stone-faced trading man he'd met about 15 years ago, somewhere down near the border country on the Grandee. He'd had a dappled pony, and someone off Warwag 1 had asked him what it was called. He'd replied that he didn't want to know the name of something he'd probably have to chill one day.
Don't want to know their names.
No?
No. How far?
Traven was in the lead, and he turned around.
Oh, it's not far, Carter. I mean, the Rinkwee's heaven has to be close for their protection.
They need protection.
I'll bet.
Minutes later, they reached the complex. It was a compound of about 50 small, single-story homes, mostly painted white, which was surrounded by a high wall, topped with razored sec wire. Guard towers loomed over each corner, but all showed signs of serious decay. Ladders were rusted, and one of the structures tilted ominously to the left. Ryan also spotted the broken remnants of what had once been searchlight towers.
Why'd they set this place up like a high-security prison?
Traven again halted their small procession.
Because that's what it once was. Florida was one of the great carnage capitals, and they built several small units like this for killers nearing the ends of their sentences. Boss Zapp happened along and saw the chances to bring in some serious jack, collected the oldies and got them to pay long and well for his protection. Most are double rich.
How?
Whores, drugs, and blasters. How does anyone get rich in the Deathlands, Carter? What a real stoop question.
A large sign was posted about 50 yards ahead of them, near a brightly lit guard's hut. and it read, Zapp's Rainbow's End Retirement Complex. From where they were standing, it was possible to see a couple of uniformed SecMen sitting together, playing cards.
You gonna chill them?
No need, Outlander. We got better ways, don't we, Adam?
We do, little Peach.
Traven pointed to the right, then hesitated, turning back to confront Ryan.
Now, just before we go in and start the dark snaking, remember, if you try and play clever, Doc dies quicker than a moth in a candle flame.
Sure.
The ground was wetter as they looped around to the west of the complex, the undergrowth thicker. A gnarled mangrove rose alongside the wall, with some of its branches crawling across the top of the weathered masonry. As soon as Ryan spotted it, he knew that this had to be the easy way into the compound. The posse crept up and over with practiced ease, Ryan going in at number 4. The tree was slippery with moss, and he nearly fell. On the far side, they were in a surprisingly neat garden, with trimmed lawns and ornamental flower beds. A stone-rimmed pond was just to their left, and Ryan could see the water rippling as fish came to the surface. The houses were on the farther side, presenting blank walls, with not a single light showing in any of the windows.
Which one?
One we've been saving for this special visit.
Ryan caught Traven's eye.
Why do you do this, Traven? The chilling and the stealing? And just to prove you can do it.
Reasons are for little people, Carter. Not for me.
At a wave of the hand from Traven, they all ran silently across the damp turf, flattening themselves against the nearest home. Beyond the old folks' compound, the first of the great swamps began. Primeval wastelands that ran almost clear to the ocean on the other side of the Florida Peninsula. Ryan could taste the salt and the ooze.
Everyone ready to go dark snaking?
Of course, Adam.
The little man turned to Ryan.
This is what we do. And this is the best part. We go in one by one, break a window and sweep the latch. We tore around the place, creeping and crawling, real quiet-like.
Yeah, real quiet.
What about the folks inside the house? You know who they are?
Traven nodded, moving so close to Ryan that he could smell the feral hunting scent.
Oh, sure. An old couple who collect weapons. Got some real nice knives, they say. Got a couple of sons staying with them, too. One's around 17, the other a year older. They sleep at the back. Wrinklies sleep that room.
Traven pointed to the far side of the door.
What happens to them?
Ryan waited a moment, then answered his own question.
You chill them? Yeah, of course you chill them.
If the gods of chaos hadn't wanted them turned into bacon, he wouldn't have made them pigs.
We going in or talking all night?
Going in. Check the windows and report back.
One of the boys went to the left, the other to the right. Ryan passed the time by trying to size up the young women, deciding which he'd try to kill first. They were good at it. One had brought some sticky tape, which he crisscrossed over the glass. Another wrapped it once with the butt of the Colt, creating a crack. A third pulled the tape away, bringing the splinters of glass with it. The room beyond gaped at them, as dark and silent as a tomb. Traven did a little capering dance, clicking his heels together.
Dark snaking time, boys and girls.
Ryan noticed that Traven was so sure of his power that he didn't even bother to post anyone outside on watch. Once they were all inside, the tension and excitement was heightened. He could hear everyone breathing faster, and all the blasters were drawn. The room smelled of stale cigarette smoke and the remains of a fried meal. Traven held up 3 fingers and pointed to the left, then repeated the gesture toward the right, which left himself and one girl with Ryan in the living room.
Sit down.
Traven pointed with the glittering muzzle of his Beretta to a long sofa visible in the filtered moonlight that broke into the room. Ryan did as he was told, leaning back against the floral cushions, looking calm and relaxed, though every fighting nerve in his body was honed and ready. The chilling would start any moment now. Ryan's assumption was that Traven had brought him along for his own perverted reasons, and that should mean keeping him alive until close to the end of the dark snaking. But with a crazy like Traven, nothing was certain. Minutes drifted by. Traven juggled his pistol, smiling to himself, occasionally humming a tune. He caught Ryan looking at him.
You wondering what's happening? Sure you are. This is real dark snaking. You move around in the blackness. Go in their rooms, sniff the soap, pick up their discarded clothes, maybe try them on. Brush your hair in the mirror.